You know, there's a whole bunch of people on the planet that are waiting for somebody to come save them. We're in a prison, we're in a spot and a place where we feel trapped and we cannot get out. And it doesn't matter how you got there or who got you there, it matters that you have the ability to break out of the prison. In fact, it was never locked. It's an optical illusion that it was ever locked. It's an open door. We're living in prisons, so afraid to do anything, to move, to shake, to stir, to speak, to act. And so we remain stifled and imprisoned by somebody else's design. And the universe calls from within us, the time is now. Not tomorrow, not a year from now, to take full and complete responsibility for the life that you want to live. That's a little bit of tough love, but it's the same tough love that the master teacher Jesus brought to the planet. Take up your mat and walk. Get up. Quit being a victim to other people's realities. Quit being a victim to everybody else's garden. And to own your life today, own it proudly and loudly. I'm going to tell three stories today. Three stories that you've probably heard 100 times, but I thought there's no better stories than these to make the point that I want to make today. So bear with me. Perhaps you can listen with a child's mind and a sense of awe as if you're hearing the stories for the first time. The first story is the young brave goes to the medicine man. And he's torn, he's wrestling on the inside, and he says to the medicine man, I've got these two wolves inside of me, and they're fighting. There's a good wolf, and there's a bad wolf, and I'm in constant turmoil, and they're battling, and battling, and battling, and battling. Please, in all your wisdom, tell me which one's going to win. And the wise medicine man simply says in his wisdom, the one that you feed, the one that you feed. This is week 4. I've been using my backyard as the metaphor for the spiritual path. This is week 4, all about the garden and the things that are necessary to break free from those prisons, to get to that place of freedom. In week 1, we talked about you have to be a gardener within the garden of our humanity, our church, and your individual life. You cannot live life as a spectator. You cannot live life in the garden as a tourist. There's no responsibility there. You must be the one tending the garden. In week 2, we talked about the very difficult process of tending the garden that involves pruning, letting go. We love our letting go ceremonies until we actually have to let go of something. The pruning. It's a good thought on New Year's Eve, isn't it? You know, I have the burning bowl ceremony. I watch and I see people burning the same thing year after year after year. It might be time to really let it go. Pruning and clearing the path so it is clear, because there's greater joy. When you clear away the debris and that which is in the way, there's greater joy. There's greater presence and light and love and God and goodness in your life. In week 3, we talked about the bulbs that I plant, the daffodils, the tulips, and the irises, put into the soil, and then the silent season, the season of waiting. We're a pretty impatient human race. Have you noticed that? I want it, and I want it now. I want it yesterday. There is the part of the garden that we must remain faithful to, not dig up that which has been planted in consciousness, that which has been planted into the soil of the infinite presence of God that's acting and moving and stirring and helping roots go down for the dream. But we dig it up. And today, we're going to talk about fertilizer. Fertilizer happens. You can't grow what you don't. You got it. First service didn't get that. Say this with me, you can't grow what you don't feed. Well, there's a big duh. Yes, it's a basic new thought, but it's one that bears repeating time and time and time and time again. You cannot grow what you are not feeding. You cannot grow what you are not giving your attention to, your heart to, your spirit to. Every garden reveals laws of nature. Any gardeners in the room? There's laws of nature that are completely and totally synonymous with the principles that we teach from this platform every single week. Growth is not magic, it is maintenance. Say that with me. Growth is not magic, it's maintenance. Don't you just hate that? You know, some days I miss the church where I can go make somebody else responsible for getting out of my prison. Or my spiritual growth. I'll turn it over to somebody else. That is the biggest cop-out. And that's the biggest blasphemy to living the presence of God that chose to do business as you. I must maintain that which has been placed in my heart, my mind, my hand, my body, and my life, and quit being a victim to circumstances, but allow myself to maintain the garden that I have been placed in. You know, we never left the Garden of Eden except in mind. The job is to return to the garden and get busy in overalls and work gloves to work it. You know, you can plant the most exquisite seeds. You can put the most beautiful seeds of potential and possibility into the soil, but without attention, without nourishment, without regular feeding, they simply remain potential. Anybody ever see somebody else, certainly nobody here, living in potential? This will be good when this happens, and then when this happens, and this never happens. It's just living in potential, and 99 times out of 100, unrealized potential. I don't want to live there anymore. The vision is not an accident. The dream in your heart was planted there by the presence of the universe. It is not an accident. Let's get busy. The life that you long for, the peace, the clarity, the abundance, the health, the relationships, the confidence, the healing, the awakening, the manifestation, none of it grows by accident. Plain and simple, it does not grow by accident. Well, Jesse will tend the garden for me, or Gay will do it for me. And then I sit at home wondering why nothing's popping in my life. Why is nothing happening in my life? Because I've made other people responsible for tending the garden. Today is about responsibility. It grows. These things grow by constant, consistent attention. Constant, consistent attention. Say that with me. Constant, consistent attention. Not when it's convenient, not once in a while. You know, I love the people that come to Unity North and think, I'm going to get the fullness of this beautiful community when I come on Christmas and Easter. And we see them and we're really glad to see them come in the door. It'd be nice to see you maybe in January, maybe in February. But the reality is there must be a constancy or you're not even coming close to digging the well that's available here with the people around you. You're not even coming close. Every dream you hold is a seed in the soil of the one, and it's being tended by the gardeners in this room, where your time, where your resources, where your beliefs, and where your energy is, there will be your harvest, right? That's a pretty thought on Sunday mornings, but is it a thought that's Monday through Saturday? Where you're putting all of these investments, that's where your harvest will be. Do you like what the world's showing you? Harvest in a different field. Move the attention, plant in a different field. Every dream is a passing thought. For many people on the planet, a good idea, that is not a seed planted. A passing thought that says, that would be wonderful, is not a seed planted, it's a seed blown by the wind. Or as Jesus put it in the Gospels, a bird. Birds are going to take those seeds and fly off, and you're never going to see the manifestation. Somebody else who's willing to put the work in will get the seed in their backyard, and then it will bloom and sprout and become beautiful. A dream becomes real. When we put it into the ground and we say this. Got the quote up there? Say it together. Spirit, I am willing to do whatever it takes to nourish this idea into being. Feel the power of those. I'm willing to change its depth. I'm willing to put on my overalls and have the sweat equity in order for this dream to become a reality. And that's why most dreams die. It's a good idea, and I'll work a little bit. A little hard on it, but no, it's just not worth it. You've given up on yourself. It isn't that God gave up on you. You gave up on yourself, kind of what the song was talking about. I gave my power over to somebody else. Guess who's responsible for that? I am. And I need to get the key out, open the prison door, and get my power back because I'm willing to change at depth everything that got me to the prison. I'm willing to put the work in. So many of us want the dream, but not willing to do that which is required of us. My second story. You have to go back to your childhood for this one. How many people remember the story of Henny Penny? I have carried that since it was given to me as a child by my grandparents who taught me the value of hard work, and it is implemented in my spiritual path. Henny Penny goes to the barnyard and she says to the rest of the animals in the barnyard, who will help me plant the wheat? Not I, said the cow. Not I, said the donkey. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the pig. So she did it herself. And then it was time to harvest. And she says, who will help me harvest the wheat? Not I, said the cow. Not I, said the donkey. Not I, said the pig, the goose, and the duck. And so she did it herself. And then she asked the barnyard, who is willing to help me turn this into dough to make bread? Not I, not I, not I, not I. Okay, I'll make it dough myself. Who is willing in the barnyard to help me bake the bread? And again, and again, and again, not I. But then the sweet smell of the baking bread went across the barnyard, covering up the smell of the fertilizer. Oh, and everybody came to Henny Penny's house, and she said, who will help me eat the bread? I will, I will, I will, said the pig, the cow, the duck, the goose, and the entire barnyard. And Henny Penny then said, you know, I've worked so hard for this, I think I will save the bread for my family. We're all wanting to eat bread. We all want bread. The goodness of this life, the goodness of the spiritual community, the goodness of the earth, but we're not willing to till the soil and put the work in. It smells so good. And is it possible that we're not eating the bread because we didn't put the work in? That a little bit of effort is necessary. Sometimes I think we treat God like a vending machine. We treat a church, a community, like a convenience store. We treat the spiritual principles like a convenience store. Why is it not working? We're kicking the vending machine. It's not working because you haven't visited the vending machine for the last 9 months. You haven't implemented the ideas for the last 9 months, and now you expect a baby to come out. You expect the bread to be all yours. This is the fifth unity principle. Gardens don't happen by accident. Neither do dreams. They come with committed and consistent effort. So let's talk about fertilizer. All the gardeners know in the room that it's pretty dirty, smelly. It isn't glamorous. There's nothing glamorous about fertilizer. It smells bad, and it's not the most pleasant thing to deal with. And it's what makes the garden grow. I want you to consider today that everything you've ever been through in your life, everything that you've been through, was fertilizer for the life you're living today. How many of you live a life that you're pretty blessed? How many feel that you're living a life that is blessed? Good job. Take your hand and pat yourself on the back. What you did and how you responded to what life threw at you is the fertilizer that puts you into the seat, into the skin, and into the experience that you have today. And I want you to consider that everything that's happening to you right now, the things that are stretching you, the things that are growing you, the things that are challenging you, is fertilizer for the life you're going to live tomorrow or the life you're going to live 10 years from now or 20 years from now. I found a document a couple years back that I just absolutely loved. I was in a men's group that really was kind of like this, tough love, own your life, own your garden. And they had me do a document about the perfect life, the perfect ministry, the perfect everything. And I studied that for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then I got tired, and I put it in a file. I put it in a file, and it died. And then I pulled it out, and I revisited it, and I began to fertilize it again. I can tell you that pretty much the life I live today, 95% of it was on that document that was created 20 years ago. I want to call my friends who were part of that, two of them have passed, and say, thank you, brothers, for holding me accountable. Thank you for holding my feet to the fire. Thank you for making me responsible for my own life. And that's what I do here. That's what we do here, is hold each other accountable in community for the presence of God that chose to do business as you. It chose. You're not an accident. Chose to put you into this garden, into this garden. It's not an accident. Consider that your mindset, your heart space, the thoughts that you're allowing into the laboratory of your mind right now is the fertilizer that is creating the life you're going to live 10 years from now, 20 years from now. It must be intentional, it must be purposeful, and it must be anchored to something greater than the experience to be fertilizer. So what is fertilizer? All the gardens, all the gardeners in the room, what is fertilizer? It's more than, you know, what? It is, somebody said it. Who said it? It is concentrated nourishment. Providing three essential components. Come on, gardeners, what are they? Oh, you're going to give them the answer. Sebastian's giving you the answer. Nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. What does nitrogen do? Nitrogen helps plants grow fuller, greener, and higher. What does phosphorus do? It causes the roots to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Potassium helps the plants handle stress, heat, cold, drought, and bear more fruit. How many of you would like to have more fruit in your life, metaphysically? We all want that. We're all talking about abundance. We're in this movement that talks about abundance all the time. I want more fruit, but what are you doing to produce more fruit? What are you fertilizing? Where are you giving your attention? In other words, fertilizer is the ingredient that helps life grow higher, go deeper, go stronger, and produce more fruit. It happens. So what is spiritual nitrogen? What is the spiritual nitrogen? It's consistent, diligent, and constant attention to what you are allowing to come out of your mouth. There's a lot of fertilizer that comes out of here. Hopefully not on Sunday. Consistent, diligent, and conscious attention to what you're allowing to come out of your mouth, to what's bouncing around your head and what you're cooking in your heart. Be awake, be conscious, be mindful. Paying attention to what you're paying attention to. That's all mindfulness is. What are you paying attention to? Because you're creating a life 10 years from now by the fertilizer you're putting into the field. What is spiritual phosphorus? Consistent meditation. It's what's growing us stronger. It's putting us into a deeper reality. Christmas and Easter isn't going to do it, folks. Praying once a week isn't going to do it. Having a meditation practice once a month is not going to put down deep roots. It is constant and consistent fertilization. So what is spiritual potassium? It is consistent community. It's the sangha, as they put in the Buddhist terms, the sangha of collected efforts, the sangha of collective gardeners all tilling the garden together. We are important to each other. Say that with me. We are important to each other. Do we really believe that? Make the circle bigger than just you and me. We can grow, can get stronger, taller, deeper roots. The we is everyone who's walking the face of the planet. It's no accident that they're walking the planet at the same time as you. Can you expand the we? I hope so, because your life, your garden, is going to be determined by how large the we is. This is what keeps us safe. We are more together. Dreams, lives, communities, projects, children, they don't grow on attention, on intention alone. I'd love it if they did. My life would be a lot less work. You can dream a garden, you can dream a life, but you cannot harvest a fantasy. Rubber meets the road, spirituality. Get busy. You either want the dream or you don't. And that's tough love. Take up your mat and walk. We only harvest what we feed daily, not occasionally. Third story and the final story. You've heard it before. Somebody gives you a little pot with a little tiny bamboo. And they say, take good care of it. And you water it, you tend it, you fertilize it, you put it in the sun, you give it a good environment. And 1 year later, it has grown 1 inch. And then you say, well, keep on it. The second year, you tend it, you give it everything it needs, you water it, you put it in the sun, you give it a bigger pot. And guess what? It grows another inch. Third year, same thing. Fourth year. Fifth year, that's usually when most people give up. And you're that close, it's like, get smart. Missed it by that much. The seventh year, you tend it, you water it, you take good care of it, you put it in the sun, it goes up 80 feet. There are a lot of people in the New Thought movement that are saying, well, gosh, in 1 year, it grew 80 feet. That is BS. It's in 7 years, it grew 80 feet, and most people never get it because they quit year 4 and 5. Fertile soil is not a condition you inherit, it is a condition that you prepare. A fertile life is not one you just envision in a pretty moment of meditation. It's one you cultivate, it's one you develop, it's one you nurture. And I'll let James be tougher than me. I tend to be in the tough love self part with myself. I'm going to let James say, basically talk is cheap when he says, faith without works is what? Dead. Say it again. Faith without works is dead. I'm in my cave. I'm holding the perfect life, the perfect relationship, the perfect everything. It's not showing up. Get busy. This is the whole message of Thursday night's interfaith gathering over at Temple Kolemeth. And I was so incredibly blessed to share the platform with a young Baptist minister, 40-year-old black man who has become a friend for life. I love him. And we said a lot of wonderful things there, but you know what got the biggest reaction that night? Is when we had a line in our discourse, in our poem, that said, God is speaking to humanity, show me the money. Show me the money. Show me the life you want. Show me that you're really committed to it. Show me that you're willing to harvest the wheat. You're willing to bake the dough, to make the dough, to bake the bread. That you're willing to get your hands dirty into the soil. You're willing to know that fertilizer isn't always pretty. You're willing to do whatever it takes. Neuroscience, I'm going to invite the band to come up. Neuroscience confirms the very same truth. Whatever you repeat, Joe Dispenza's teaching it, so take his word for it. Whatever you repeat, whatever you rehearse, whatever you feed with your attention and your focus becomes stronger, deeper, wider, greener. Basically, neurons that fire together, wire together. This is scientific fodder and fertilizer. It's not just a spiritual idea. Your brain is literally growing toward whatever you consistently nourish. Be mindful of what's coming out. So what are you nourishing? Not a rhetorical question. What are you currently nourishing in your life? If you don't have an answer, get one. The next time somebody asks you, what are you working on? What's moving and grooving and shaking in your life? How are you dancing in life? Have an answer on the edge of your tongue. Don't have the hesitation and the pause. Know it with conviction and commitment. Your brain is growing to whatever you are consistently paying attention to. And if you don't have an answer, look at your calendar. Open up. I feel like an old man. Look at your day timer. Look at your call log. Look at your bank account, your checkbook. Again, the old fart. Look at the bank statement. Look at the people you're hanging out with. Birds of a feather flock together. And more than in anything, look at what life is showing you. You don't like it? Fertilize a different garden. Nourish what you want to flourish. Nourish what you want to flourish, not just when it's convenient, not just when it's easy. Nourish what you want to flourish in your life, every thought, every heartbeat, every breath. Gratitude will build gratitude. On this Thanksgiving, we're all going to have family gatherings. There's going to be that one uncle. Oh, God, Uncle Jim's going to be here. Nourish what you want to flourish in the garden of your relationship with your uncle. He may be an SOB. Don't meet him at the energy of SOB. Meet him at the energy of kindness, of compassion, of understanding. Have your exit route. I need to go to the bathroom for a minute and get away from Uncle Jim. And then come back in and be the change that you want to see, because that's the garden that you're tending. Nobody is responsible for the prison of a miserable Thanksgiving but you. Nobody is responsible for the beauty of Thanksgiving but you. Fear builds fear. Peace builds peace. Angry people will find reasons to be angry. Hurt people will find reasons to be hurt. Loving people, kind people, compassionate people, and peaceful people will find peaceful, compassionate, and nourishing gardens. John Maxwell says this. Let's put it up there together. Dreams don't work unless you do. What you cultivate in your consciousness becomes your experience in form. I don't care how beautiful the divine idea that you're tending right now is. I don't care how holy the vision is that of what you're holding, of how magnificent it could be, or how sacred the dream is, or how special you are as a person. I care that you're putting one foot in front of the other and taking an action to bring it to earth. So yes, we can play in esoteric ideas on Sunday and then go into our world Monday through Saturday and not tend that garden. I care that what's going on in this room goes out those doors. What you're believing in this room goes out those doors. I care that what we're tending here in consciousness doesn't die when you hit the restaurant this afternoon. In fact, why don't you come to the concert at 1 o'clock and tend it a little bit deeper? There's a lot of phosphorus going to happen there. There's a lot of nitrogen that's going to happen there. Author James Clear writes this. This will be my closing idea. Together, you do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. Get your system in order and work it, baby. Work it. Work it. Work it. Feed the good wolf. Be willing to do whatever it takes to change at depth. Year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Fertilize your faith. And then next week, we're going to talk all about the harvest, the final in the series, and the harvest is amazing. Put the work in this week. Have a blessed and beautiful Thanksgiving of tending to the garden and getting your hands dirty. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.